This evening, my mind is on some lessons found in 2 Corinthians, and I'd like to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 1 and 9. Paul would say, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead." That's a very interesting statement Paul makes there. "But we had the sentence of death." And I think what he's saying is we were like under a death sentence. And if you go back to verse 8, let's look. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia." Now, he's not complaining. Tonight, when I was talking to Sister Faye about all of her back pain, she said, "Brother Sam, I don't mean to complain." I said, "Well, when you're telling us about real pain, that's not complaining. You're asking for prayer." Well, Paul is not complaining here when he's telling us about all the trouble that he had in Asia. As a matter of fact, he wants the church at Corinth to know that. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia." Now, he really doesn't identify what all the trouble was that he experienced in Asia, but I can assure you it was great. And he wanted the church at Corinth to understand that. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now, if you hear these words, this is the Apostle Paul talking about what they went through in Asia. And he says, we were pressed out of measure, beyond measure, above our strength, insomuch, now listen to this, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now you know that had to be trouble for our beloved Apostle Paul, who is not given to complaining, but he is letting the church at Corinth know what kind of trouble they went through in Asia. "Insomuch that we despaired even of life." I mean, he was ready to die. He was at the point where he was ready to give up. "But we had the sentence of death," that is this life sentence, "in ourselves. And here's the reason for it, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." I think what our beloved Apostle Paul is saying here is this: all of this trouble that we went through in Asia that caused us even to despair of life was happening to us for a reason, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Now, all of us are going to go through trouble in life. Children go through trouble. Teenagers go through trouble. Young people, middle-aged people, old people go through a lot of trials and tribulations. But as you and I are going through the troubles of life, may our troubles teach us that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. I love that, don't you? Not trust in ourselves. How many of us in the house tonight have had enough trouble in life to convince us that we need help from above? I have. And I'm sure all of you have. And let's not forget that He is able to help us. He is able to lift us up. And let's notice what He would say in verse 10. Who delivered us. Now this is God, which raiseth the dead. Beloved, if you've got a problem that God can't help you with, you really got trouble. Because I want to tell you, God can even raise the dead. And that's the God we're trusting in. We're not trusting in the government. We're not trusting in feeble hands. We're trusting in God that raiseth the dead. Now, Paul would say, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. There's three time zones in that verse. There is past, present, and future. Paul says, God has delivered, who delivered us from so great a death. How many of us tonight can look back over our journey and look to times when God has surely delivered us? Many times. It would be good for all of us to keep a spiritual journal and just keep something to help remind us of how good God has been to us. And He's given His angels watch over us. And He's taken care of us and provided for us. And so the apostle would say, who delivered us from so great a death, past tense, and doth deliver. The God that was with us yesterday is the God that's with us today. He's a present help in time of trouble. You don't have to wait around. He's right there. And then he would say, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. No matter what the future holds, and none of us know what the future holds, I can tell you, He'll be there to deliver us. He is the great deliverer. Notice how many times the word deliver is used in verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. That reminds me of what David was thinking about when he faced Goliath, and King Saul tried to talk him out of it, and others tried to talk him out of it. But David remembered something. He remembered that God had delivered a lion into his hands as a shepherd boy. And then he remembered that God had delivered a bear into his hands. So David remembers the past deliverances of God, and he's leaning on that God to be with him now. And whatever David is going to face in the rest of his life, and he was going to face a lot of problems, God would be there to deliver him. And beloved, you and I can say that tonight. All of us need God constantly in this life. We all go through trials. I remember some years ago, somebody came to me and said, Brother Sam, you've got to pray for me. And I said, well, what's the situation? And he said, you just wouldn't believe the boss I've got. You just couldn't imagine the boss I have to work for. When that bell rings in the morning, it's not just time for me to go to work. It's for round one. And it's going to be a fight the rest of the day. And I said, well, I'm going to pray for you, and God will be able to help you deal with that boss. Has anybody in the house ever had a boss like that? Well, they are around. I had somebody one time come to me and said, Brother Sam, please pray for us. I said, what's going on? They lived in an apartment complex in Augusta, Georgia, and the people over them were noisy. And they were cursing all the time, and they played loud music. And they said, we've got to have help. And I said, well, I'll pray for you. Listen, everybody's got problems to deal with in this life. It could be financial. It could be a health problem. All kind of problems that we face in life. But no matter who we are and what we're facing in life, let us remember what the Apostle Paul tells us, that in his troubles, he was being taught that he should not trust in himself, but in God, which raiseth the dead. And we, you and I can so easily forget that. Do you know? You get caught up in the problem and you think there's just no way out. But if we could just remember how many times God has delivered us in the past, we would know that he is able to continue to deliver us in the present and in the future, no matter what comes our way in this life. The severity of hardships, and God allows a lot of these problems to come into our lives, beloved friends, to teach us this lesson. He suffered Job. Now, Satan brought a lot of trouble on Job. And, you know, I've never read of anybody in Scripture that had the troubles that Job had. And Job finally had to learn to lean on God. And God's grace was sufficient for him. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, tells them about a thorn in the flesh that was given to him. He was caught up to the third heaven, and he was given revelations that it was not lawful for him to talk about. And you may say, well, Brother Sam, I'd just love to be caught up to the third heaven. Well, Paul was caught up to the third heaven to see things that were going to help him bear the great afflictions of his life. And I believe they did help him. But to keep him from being prideful, to keep him from being boastful about what he had seen, God suffered this thorn in the flesh. And we know it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And he went to God three times about it and prayed and prayed and prayed. And God said, no, I'm not going to remove the thorn, but I'll give you grace sufficient to bear it. And that promise is to you and me tonight, beloved. None of us know what we're going to be facing in America. I tell you, I believe with all my heart that I have probably lived in the best period in American history, right after World War II. The war is over. Patriotism is sky high. I was born in 1948, 3 years after the war. And I mean, the flags were waving. People were proud to be Americans. Patriotism. There was great unity in the nation. It was United States of America. We were together as a nation. And during the 50s and 60s, we had a financial boom like the world had never witnessed. And I was brought up in all of that. How many of y'all realize we have lived in a wonderful time in American history? Now, I don't know what we're going to be facing in the future. None of us know. Things can change very quickly. Gasoline, it's already high, and I keep hearing people talk about how hard it is financially for them to make ends meet financially. You go to the store and prices are high. We don't know. I can tell you this much. The human beings in charge of all these nuclear weapons do not have the character they need to be in control of those nations, of those weapons. Let me tell you, beloved, we'd have been better off if the atom had never been split. We would have been a lot better off if it had never been split. If we just still had bows and arrows to hunt and fight with, it'd be dangerous. Nelda's grandsons just went to Louisville, Kentucky, and competed in an archery contest up there and won the grand championship. I mean, they are good with bows and arrows. I mean, they're incredible with it. I mean, her son killed a bear, a big bear, with a bow and arrow many years ago. She says she ought to name him Davy Crockett. I mean, he is really good, and those boys are good. Now, if all we had today to fight with was bows and arrows, it'd be dangerous, but it wouldn't be like what we've got in the world today. We've got a man named Putin over Russia. They've got almost as many nuclear weapons as we have. And Iran wants one bad. And North Korea's got them. 9 countries have those weapons. And you and I are living in a world where all those nuclear weapons are available to people that I don't trust them. Let me tell you, beloved, I'm not trying to scare anybody tonight, but I want you to know we live in a dangerous world, a very dangerous world. And we need to be praying to God to intervene and guide the leaders of this world. But I want to tell you, no matter what comes in the future, no matter what it is, God's grace will be sufficient for us. And if we're taken out of this world, well, we go on to glory. So God is able. He has delivered us. He is delivering us. And he will yet deliver us. We praise him and thank him for that tonight. The Apostle Paul is writing about his afflictions and his trials and his tribulations. And he's telling us that we need to be leaning on the everlasting arms. This is not just wishful thinking, beloved. This is faith in the living God. And Paul remembers that. And he's now telling the Corinthians. See, the Corinthians are upset with him because he had promised to come and be with them. And he's having to delay his visit. Matter of fact, he may not even get to come. So he's writing them to tell them all about it. Now let's turn over to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, Paul probably opens up about his own personal struggles in this life more than any of his other 14 books that he wrote in the New Testament. But let's look here at chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Paul would say, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, the earthen vessel is our body. The human body is made out of dust, made out of the earth. God did that. But in this body, God has deposited an incredible treasure, and it's eternal life. Can you think of a greater treasure than that? Eternal life has been deposited in our earthen vessels. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And God has given us this treasure, eternal life, through his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, God is not pleased with his people on this earth, that is, in our earthen vessels. But I want to say to everybody here tonight, that when Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, went to the cross and made one perfect sacrifice for sins forever, he perfected all that he died for. So that God tonight looks on us through the perfection of Jesus Christ and sees us as his own children. But we have these earthen vessels that we have to live in down here on this earth. Now notice verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Don't y'all love that? Listen to these words again. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And having this same, now watch verse 13. And having the same spirit of faith, the same attitude of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now, Paul is letting the church at Corinth know that he's been through all of these trials and tribulations, but God's grace has been sufficient for him all the way along. And I tell you, I love that thought. But now let's come down to verse 16, a very familiar scripture to all of us, I would think. Verse 15, excuse me. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Here is an amazing thing in the life of a true, genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. As your body, your outward man, goes through all these trials and is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. That's amazing, isn't it? That's incredible. The inward man, you know, I was thinking about it this week. You know, you can take a picture of somebody, of their body, and it won't tell you much about them, really. I mean, it won't tell them what kind of person they are. I saw a picture this week of Billy the Kid. They had a picture of Billy the Kid. He was an outlaw. You know, he was a gunslinger and an outlaw. But, you know, just see that picture. He just looked like a fine young teenage boy. He was young when he died. The picture wouldn't tell you much about his soul. How many of us would like to have our pictures made of our souls and our minds? I don't think I'd particularly want somebody to take a picture of all that. Would you all? But I want to tell you this evening, beloved friends, that inward man, that inward man, that eternal life that God has placed within us is being renewed. The more troubles and trials you go through, the more it's being renewed. I told the church at Oak Grove today about visiting Elder Goodman over in Alabama many years ago. I was over there holding a meeting, and the pastor said, "Brother Sam, would you go with me to visit old Elder Goodman?" And I didn't know him, but I said, "I'd be glad to go with you and visit with him." I remember how it helped us when people would come to visit my dad when he was bedridden and feeble. And so I said, "I'd love to go with you to visit Brother Goodman." We got to Brother Goodman's home, and I saw a wheelchair ramp going up to the house, and the grass needed cutting, and it was an old house. And I thought, well, my heart just goes out to this old man. I just felt sorry for him. We got in the house, and I saw him in a wheelchair. And one of his legs had been amputated, and his left arm was paralyzed. And my heart just went out to that dear old man of God until he started talking. And then I found out who was really being blessed. You know, he said to us, he had a Bible on a little TV tray, an open Bible right next to his chair that he'd been reading, and he'd gotten excited about us coming to see him. And he just thanked us for coming over to see him and visit with him. And he said, "You know, God has been so good to me." He said, I got this good right arm. I can shave myself. My wife doesn't have to do that for me. I can bathe myself. I can help dress myself." This old man was more thankful for one good right arm than I was for a young, healthy body. Now, I want to tell you, his troubles and trials had caused that inner man in him to just be strengthened day by day. Are y'all getting this tonight? You don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. I certainly don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. My father left here one Sunday night when he was 67 years old. And one Sunday night after church, he was pastoring three churches. The church up at Milledgeville, Camp Creek Church, the church at Fort Valley, and he was pastoring Cool Springs. Had one Sunday a month free to go and visit sister churches, and he was helping to raise a bunch of kids. Daddy got home that night, went out on the front porch. He chewed tobacco. He loved chewing tobacco. He pulled the he pulled a settee on the porch right over where he could chew and spit, and he accidentally fell off the porch and broke his pelvic bone. He got up, picked up the settee, and set it back on the porch, and Mama came out after she had cleaned up the kitchen and sat down with him, and he laughed about what had happened. But by bedtime, he couldn't even pick his feet up. They were swelling so. He was bleeding inside. Mom and Franklin rushed him to Dr. Bell down in Dublin. Dr. Bell worked on him all night long. He said he was swollen like a barrel. But God spared his life. He was in the hospital about a month. I remember soldiers coming down and donating blood for Dad because he had to have a lot of blood transfusions. He came back home and was sitting in the front room one morning and had a stroke. Probably the accident, the fall, had caused a blood clot, and that blood clot some of you remember my dad in that condition. He couldn't talk. He never called my name after that. His preaching days were over. His pastoring was over. He couldn't do anything except sit in the house for 7 years. Now listen, I share that story with you all tonight because he had no idea something like that was facing him. I shaved my daddy. I learned to shave him a long time before I shaved myself. I was 10 years old when that happened. I was privileged and honored to help him and wait on him because the other boys were out taking care of the farm and such. Beloved, none of us know what the future holds, but I want to tell y'all, God was with us. Amen. He made a way for us. I remember people coming to our house bringing money. You know, we didn't have any social security, didn't have any savings, but God made a way. I remember churches in this area paid off all of his hospital bills and doctor bills. When he came home, we didn't owe a dime. Now I want to tell you, I wish my... I've often wished I could have preached with my dad. You know, I didn't start preaching till I was 15, 5 years after the accident. I see preachers today, brother... You know, Brother Bill Tarns got to preach with his daddy, Brother Robert, for years. I've known a lot of preachers like that, you know, get to preach with their dads. That was wonderful. I never had that. I did get to preach with my brothers. But the thing is, none of us know what tomorrow holds. And it's not going to help us any at all to worry about it. We need to pray for God's divine protection. Why God suffered that, I don't know. But I want to tell you, God made a way. And Daddy would stand up, and by the way, I came in possession of some old tapes that Brother Robert Sanders had. You know, he used to take his reel-to-reel recorder everywhere and record old services. He's got the last sermon held in the old building. And Brother Tommy Darty recently digitized that for me. And I heard Brother Robert Sanders' voice. It was the last meeting in the old building. And Brother Doc Little said, you know, we sold the building, but we didn't sell the church. I like that. We moved into this nice new building. The old building was gone. We got the last service recorded. And Brother Bernard Howell prayed the closing prayer. I know y'all will enjoy hearing his voice. My daddy's voice was on there. His voice was broken, but you could hear him say clearly, I love y'all. Now, beloved, I want all of us in this house to know tonight that our God is going to be with us. I want to stay as close to him as I can. I know that much. I want my family to be as close to Him as we can all be in this life. I tell you, that's something we all need on a daily basis as we live out our days on this earth. Let's teach our children to trust in God. We don't want our children to be dependent on us. Now, when they're little, they got to be. But we need to be teaching our children as teenagers to lean on God, to trust in God. Because any parent could be gone just like that. But I want to tell you, God will be there for them. He'll be right there. His grace will be amazing. And he'll provide for them in every way that you could ever imagine or think of on this life, in this life. And so may God help all of us to trust in Him, to lean on Him, and not worry about a thing in this world. If worrying could take care of problems, there wouldn't be any, because there's a lot of worrying going on. And I worry too much myself, but I preach against it. And Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, we do not have dominion over your faith. In other words, I'm not trying to dictate anybody's life or faith. But he says, I want to help you all grow in your joy and in your faith in God. And that's what preaching is all about, helping increase people's joy and increase people's faith. And I want to preach in such a way that y'all will leave here tonight trusting in the living God, knowing He has delivered, He is delivering, and He's going to deliver. And someday He's coming back in all of His glory and raise our vile bodies and fashion them like unto His own. Thank you all for your good attention tonight.